Hello, and welcome to ICANN's quarterly stakeholder call. I'm Brad White, Director of Communications for North America. Today's call will last about 60 minutes. The agenda will be as follows. We'll get a president's overview for about 10 minutes, policy update for 10 minutes, management update for 15, financial update for about 10 minutes, and then we'll have a question and answer period for about 30 minutes. Now, as regards that question and answer period, if you are on Adobe Connect, please type your question into the box labeled Submit Questions Here. If you're on the phone, all you have to do is hit #3. The operator will put you into the queue. Let me note at this point that while this call is occurring in English, it is being simultaneously translated into 5 additional languages, French, Spanish, Arabic, Russian, and Portuguese. So if you are on one of those lines, same thing, just hit #3. You can ask your question, and we will then hear the English interpretation of your question. Should we run out of time, if you have additional questions after this session ends, please send them to engagement@icann.org. We do have a few questions that were submitted earlier. We'll get to those as time permits. This session is being recorded, and links to the presentation materials will be posted to our website in the Resources section. You can also find the link in the Adobe Connect box titled Notes. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to please mute your computer and phones. And with that, I will introduce ICANN President and CEO Fadi Shahadi. Fadi?
Thank you, Brad. As a reminder, the purpose and rationale of the ICANN quarterly stakeholder call is to provide a predictable and regular window into ICANN's activities through a fact-based update on progress against our strategic objectives and our mission. This includes ICANN's role as coordinating body for names, numbers, and protocol parameters. Our fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th. This quarterly call will focus on the fourth quarter of fiscal year 15, which just ended on the 30th of June, and I'm encouraged by the progress that has been made this year. Today, I'm going to provide you with a short overview of highlights from this last quarter, covering 7 efforts. 1, the beta KPI dashboard. 2, strengthening operational performance and excellence. 3, providing clarity around ICANN's contractual compliance role and remit. 4, importance of the IANA stewardship transition in the context of maintaining the multi-stakeholder model by which ICANN operates. 5, enhancing ICANN's accountability through a robust suite of consistent review mechanisms. 6, what we are doing to more fully enable and support the community. And finally, 7, our focus on immersed participation together with our partners in the Internet governance ecosystem. I am very pleased to say we anticipate launching the beta version of ICANN's Key Performance Indicator Dashboard, or KPI, on August 27th, which is the final piece in ICANN's planning cycle. This allows us to report on progress through the dashboard and, of course, these calls, and is part of the management discipline that we've been putting in place over the past year or so in order to share this directly with you. There are 5 objectives, 16 goals, and 28 identified KPIs in ICANN's 5-year operating plan, which is the same structure of the beta KPI dashboard. The beta dashboard is an evolving process, and we want your input to help improve it. We are sharing this management tool with the public in the spirit of transparency and accountability, so that anyone can see how ICANN is progressing against its operating plan. Over time, our goal is to use this tool to monitor trends and bring clarity to discussions. Now, moving on to ICANN's operational performance for the quarter and reflecting on trends from the year. The FY16 operating plan and budget was approved by the board in June. In terms of financials for FY15, we're finishing the year exactly as planned with unaudited revenues slightly lower than expected by $2 million at $102 million, and operating expenses below revenue at $101 million due to close management of expenses. The annual independent financial audit is currently underway to review financial year 15. ICANN's globalization efforts have also made headway during the year. Our Singapore hub office is now 2 years old, and in the fourth quarter, we've expanded the office. We are moving to a larger facility, and the three hubs will have longer lease terms, reaffirming our commitment to the globalization strategy. We've made progress on globalizing ICANN's functions. We have 70% of ICANN's functions now based in the Asia-Pacific region, 90% in the Europe, Middle East, and Africa region, and of course are fully staffed in the Americas and Caribbean. Since June 2013, our staff headcount has grown by 63%. However, in FY15, as planned, we slowed this growth down considerably and shifted our focus to developing our current staff, as demonstrated by only 34 new hires, or just 10% in the year, primarily in Asia Pacific, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. On cybersecurity, we continue to strengthen and enhance our security structures and remain vigilant and alert. We'll address this in the management update later in the call. We've also conducted our first ICANN-wide internal European Foundation for Quality Management Assessment, EFQM, which has identified improvements for the organization to adopt as part of a business excellence framework. Now, I'll give an update on contractual compliance activities. The final year of the three-year contractual compliance audit program has completed now, with a 96% compliance rate. Out of the 128 audited, two registrars were terminated during the request for information phases, and three registrars were terminated during the remediation phase. Please refer to the published report for additional details. Another round of the new registry agreement audit was launched on the 23rd of March for 11 top-level domains. The audit program is in the remediation phase now. I am pleased to announce that ICANN finalized and onboarded four new members of the PICDRP, the Public Interest Commitment Dispute Resolution Procedure Standing Panel, which now consists of seven individuals. Turning now to an update on the IANA stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN's accountability. The community remains busy. It has been over 16 months since NTIA announced its intention to transition its stewardship role of the IANA functions to ICANN and the global multi-stakeholder community. This historical announcement was long awaited and a recognition of both ICANN's maturity and the international support for the multi-stakeholder processes. Over the past months, enormous progress has been made by the community. With the IANA stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN accountability processes reaching an incredible milestone. Both the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, ICG, and the Cross-Community Working Group for Accountability have posted proposals for public comment for the transition of the stewardship of the IANA functions to the global multi-stakeholder community. These proposals are currently out for public comment. The comment on the IANA stewardship transition proposal ends on October 8th, and on 12th of September, on September 8th, and on 12th of September for the enhancing ICANN accountability proposal. I am pleased that NTIA announced, in response to the community's feedback, that it plans to extend the IANA functions contract with ICANN for only 1 year, expiring September 30th, 2016. The global community has been making extensive and important progress on the IANA transition proposal, and the anticipated extension of the IANA functions contract is consistent with the work plan laid out months ago by the multi-stakeholder community. This additional time is necessary for the community to complete its work and for ICANN to implement the community's proposals. As we've said many times, it is important to get this right, and we are glad the community has the additional year it needs. We have made it a long way since March of last year, and we are on track. Now, we are nearly at the end of phase one, but we are not quite there yet. This slide shows that all that has been accomplished by the community in phase one. We are relying on this public comment period to provide community input and finalize the recommendations for strong proposals that meet the criteria set out by NTIA to enable the transition. ICANN staff and the community are working hard to raise awareness of the public comment periods and to ensure that the ICG and CCWG on accountability have whatever support they need to take these proposals over the finish line. As of now, the goal is to have both proposals finalized during or shortly after ICANN 54 in Dublin, which will ensure we are prepared for phase two, the NTIA review and evaluation. Next, I will talk about some of the programs and efforts in place to support our community. ICANN is committed to providing the tools, resources, and programs to support the community do its important work. The NextGen program remains strong, and we've seen 53 participate in FY15 to engage ICANN with 18 to 30-year-olds both during and more broadly after ICANN meetings. The fellowship program has also been a success with 140 fellows during the year and a record 446 applications for ICANN 54 in Dublin. 50 have been selected to participate. These programs have seen us engage with new stakeholders who are at the start of their relationship with ICANN and help engage the next generation of the community. Our educational and academic outreach efforts focus on building a global audience that is knowledgeable about the wider internet ecosystem through training, panel discussions, and learning platforms, including the successful ICANN Learn. We are currently upgrading the ICANN Learn platform to allow for greater customization and individual personalization. Let's move on to my last topic, internet governance. ICANN continues to participate in the World Summit on Information Society, WSIS review process, in partnership with other internet organizations. We presented at the first consultation held at the UN in July and made a formal submission in coordination with the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. We continue to have ongoing bilaterals with officials in New York and are working on preparations for the meeting in October. ICANN is also following the drafting process for the final document working in collaboration with ICANN's sister technical organizations. Preparations for the Internet Governance Forum in Brazil in November are also ongoing, including the preparation for the Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group meeting, the MAG, in September, and the sessions for the IGF itself. ICANN also continues to support and participate in many regional and national Internet Governance Forums. For the Net Mundial initiative, the inaugural council meeting was held in Sao Paulo on the 30th of June and issued a communique. The link is here for your reference. It was a productive meeting that adopted terms of reference, endorsed the Net Mundial solutions map, adopted governance and operational procedures, and electing five co-chairs, and finally supported the engagement from community project proposals. And with that, I'll now hand over to David Olive for the policy update.
Thank you, Fadi. I am David Olive, ICANN's Vice President for Policy Development Support, and I will provide an update on this past quarter's policy development activities. As you may know, ICANN's policy development work relating to the technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICANN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by its four advisory committees in a bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open, and transparent process. Other internet policy and technical organizations are also involved in policy development, for example, the Internet Engineering Task Force and the regional internet registries. Today's policy update will cover four groups for a more complete picture of policy development activities: the Generics Name Supporting Organization, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, the Number Resource Organization and Address Supporting Organization, as well as the Internet Engineering Task Force. My colleague Adiel will talk to you about these last two groups a little later. Proceeding on to the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO, highlights are here on this slide. In addition to the topics listed, a significant milestone was reached on the IANA stewardship transition with the unanimous Council approval of the final transition proposal of the Cross-Community Working Group on naming-related functions. Furthermore, substantive work on enhancing ICANN's accountability is ongoing. In the fourth quarter, the Council requested a preliminary issues report, the first step in a policy development process, to explore the new generic top-level domain subsequent procedures. It also adopted the final report on the translation and transliteration of contact information done by that working group and recommendations of the GNSO Policy and Implementation Working Group. The Generic Name Supporting Organization currently has 14 active policy development processes underway and at various stages of work, including the Proxy and Privacy Services and their accreditation, and the use of curative rights mechanisms to protect the names of international governmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. This quarter also saw the implementation of the recommendations of the Governmental Advisory Committee and Generic Name Supporting Organization Consultation Group on early engagement in the policy development process and issues, and the extension of the Council's liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee. Discussions continued with other supporting organizations and advisory committees of ICANN on a possible cross-community working group to explore issues around the new generic top-level domain auction proceeds and ways to coordinate and plan for community activities under the format of the new ICANN meeting strategy, which will take effect in 2016. This quarter also saw the publication for public comment of the initial report of the Independent Examiner to review the effectiveness of the operations of the Generic Names Supporting Organization, including certain recommendations. Turning now to the country code community in the fourth quarter, the IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability processes also continue to be major focuses, as you can see in the highlights on this slide. Because of the importance of these two processes and in close cooperation with the regional country code top-level domain organizations, critical efforts continued to reach out to and engage the entire country code community, including non-members of the country code naming support organization. In this decision process around the cross-community working group stewardship proposal. For example, in addition to all the sessions on this topic, the CCNSO dedicated four sessions at their meeting in Buenos Aires to inform and discuss the final cross-community working group stewardship proposal, which was then broadly supported by the country code top-level community present at ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires. Recently, in the last quarter, the Council adopted the framework of interpretation, a key policy-related process on how the management of a country code top-level domain may be delegated or redelegated from one manager to another. In anticipation of the June 2015 board resolution directing the staff to begin implementation, the Council appointed the former chair and co-chair of this working group as an advisory team to assist staff in the implementation process when needed, and to inform the community on progress made. In other areas, the CCNSO Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group has been diligently working on its comments on ICANN's FY 2016 operation plan and budget. Finally, to follow up on a readiness issue, after the successful launch and implementation of a repository of contact details to allow email transmissions in readiness for a potential security incident, the CCNSO Council is creating a committee to oversee and guide further development and use of this repository. Now I will hand it over to Adiel Akpovlan, Vice President of Technical Engagement, to give you an update on behalf of the Address Supporting Organization, the Number Resource Organization, and the Internet Engineering Task Force. Adiel?
Thank you very much, David. I will continue this with the ITF and the NRO activity update. As you know, the ITF has conducted its 93rd meeting last month in Prague. As usual, it was the opportunity for the Internet technology community to advance their work on Internet standards and also explore new areas of interest. As observed since few meetings now, the ITF is getting more involved in coding through activities such as hackathon. The first formal edition took place during ITF 93. During that meeting, protocols are being implemented in real time during the hackathon few days before the meeting. This hackathon this year feature coding of existing protocol, but also on new ones such as HTTP 2.0, DN, DNSSEC, Deprive, DEAR, and many others. Some topics on the discussion within the ITF community that may be of interest to domain name community generally are, for instance, the ongoing discussion on special TLDs as defined in the RSC 7061. That RSC tried to define the framework for special use domain name as we already have for IP address. You can follow the discussion on that in the ITF DNS Up Working Group mailing list. Another interesting topic related to IDN is a ledger working group that has now been formed. That working group, it's aimed at standardizing the specifications for describing code points and rules to be used in the DNS root zone when adding IDN. The IANA team is actively involved in this initiative, and this is very good for the advancement of the DNS system globally. Following the release by the ICG of its draft proposal, the IRB as well and the IANA plan working group within the ITF are very busy working to review the document with a focus on interaction between the ITF and the other stakeholders to ensure cohesion but also continued stability of the IANA function, which is key for ITF work. On the ASO and NRO side, I will just point out that the ASO has now selected a new representative, the ICANN board, on seat 9. Ron Da Silva has been selected. Ron Da Silva, before being selected, was ASO AC member, so he has been replaced in the ASO AC by John Sweeting, from Irene region. Ron Da Silva term will start after ICANN 54 meeting in Dublin. As we know, the RAR conducts their policy development at the regional level, and currently there are more than 30 different policies under discussion by the five RAR communities. Two specifically on ASN management, one on DNS, 9 related to IPv4 generally, 1 reviewing policy development process, 3 about regional scope of IP address usage. And finally, one area that is having a lot of attraction right now is the IPv4 transfer, and there is not less than 10 policy on that discussion in that area. You can read more about the area policy development process and how you can participate from the link on the slide. A related topic that is keeping us all very busy this day, I mean the IANA stewardship transition, the second draft of the RAR and ICANN SLA has now been published, and it is available for public, and this comment period is open until August 31st. The RAR have also announced recently the setup of a joint stability fund into which over $2.1 million has already been pledged. More about the fund can also be found on their website. Now we are entering the last phase of the public policy meeting of the area, so they are all entering the last phase of this meeting, starting with EPINIC 40, that is planned in September in Jakarta, Indonesia, followed by LACNIC 24 and ARIN 36 in October. They are taking place respectively in Bogota, Colombia, and Montreal in Canada. Then RIPE NCC with RIPE 71 and AFRINIC 33 will close the loop in November with their meeting in Bucharest, Romania, and Brazzaville, Congo. We really encourage the community to join the area policy mailing lists and participate. Also, if possible, attend those upcoming meetings to make sure that their voices are heard when it comes to IP address management policy. Thank you, and that concludes the policy update for this call. I will now hand over to my colleague David Conrad, who is the Chief Technology Officer at ICANN. He will give the management update. David, back to you.
Thank you, Adele. This is David Conrad, and I'll be giving a brief management update, providing the current status of information and internet technology at ICANN, offering a global domains division update, taking a look at the contractual compliance metrics for the quarter, and sharing some of our global stakeholder engagement efforts. First, looking at efforts in ICANN's information technology department, in June, we received a report as part of our annual security audit from Leidos, an independent and leading security assessment services provider. Leidos performed a recalibration of the ICANN cybersecurity environment, and against the baseline assessment held in FY14, the results from this fiscal year show that ICANN has improved its cybersecurity posture over the last fiscal year, solidifying ICANN's commitment to addressing this critical area. When evaluated against the Council on Cybersecurity's critical security controls, ICANN improved its security controls by over 20% compared to the previous year. However, we know there's still room for improvement to further safeguard ICANN from cybersecurity threats. Our security improvements are consistent with those being implemented at other industry-leading organizations to deal with today's modern and ever-changing cyber landscape. As you may have heard, recently the encrypted passwords used to access user profiles on ICANN's ICANN.org website were obtained by an unauthorized person. While investigations are ongoing, the encrypted passwords appear to have been obtained as a result of unauthorized access via an external service provider. To be clear, no operational or financial data or IANA systems were involved in this breach, and the encrypted passwords are not easy to reverse. However, as a precaution, we immediately recommended that all ICANN.org users change their passwords. ICANN remains vigilant and alert to cybersecurity threats, and we continue to harden our cybersecurity posture through annual security audit assessments, testing, training for staff, and more. To better manage the digital services IT supports, we have created a master list that currently identifies 84 services that IT provides either internally or to the public. Information collected on each of these services supports decision-making on security, roadmap, and support issues. For example, encryption efforts focus on the services with the most sensitive data, and some roadmap choices can focus on services we want to retire. With the service list in place, we reviewed the external facing services for environmental and data sensitivity and have prioritized the effort to scan for security vulnerabilities, fix any vulnerabilities found, and certify those fixes. We are using an independent third-party service provided by a company named Sigital to perform a variety of scans on selected services, from external scans to manual cracking. As we make our way through each service, any identified issues are verified, fixed, and tested again until we are confident we have significantly reduced our risk exposure. Now, let's look at the Internet technology update. In keeping with ICANN's decision to reinvigorate our focus on technology, we have grown the staff of the Office of the CTO from 2 to 6, bringing in experts in all 3 technology areas that ICANN helps coordinate, specifically names, numbers, and protocol parameters. With the relocation of ICANN's security group, headed by John Crane, to the Office of the CTO, the technology-focused side of ICANN has grown to 11, with a budget of $5.1 million U.S. dollars for fiscal year 16. Projects currently underway in the Office of the CTO include developing a plan for changing the DNSSEC key for the Internet's root zone, for which public comments began August 6, evaluating the conformance of home and small office routers and firewalls to DNS standards, working to understand how the DNS and addressing systems are evolving, supporting the technical implementation of the transition of the stewardship of the IANA functions, participating in various technical forums, including the IETF, DNS OARC, IEEE, and others, and providing training on DNS, DNSSEC, global threat awareness, and response. Looking to the future, you can expect to see the staff of ICANN's Office of the CTO to engage deeply in technical matters related to the Internet system of unique identifiers. We are in the process of developing a draft technology roadmap for ICANN that will be provided to the community for review and comment. This roadmap is intended to help prepare ICANN for the evolution of the Internet's identifier technologies, as well as how those identifiers will be used in the future. Speaking of how identifiers are used, we'll now turn to ICANN's compliance department. In this slide, you can see the ticket volumes that reflect complaints submitted to ICANN by third parties or generated as a result of ICANN monitoring. The goal of the compliance department is to bring the contracted parties into compliance with their agreements. As you can see in this chart, in Q4, ICANN processed and closed approximately 14,000 complaints in under 12 days. This processing time is up by 1.2% from Q3 due to increased volume and complexity of the issues being identified. However, throughout this fiscal year, ICANN closed 99% of complaints in under 12 days. I'll now give an update on several activities under the Global Domains Division. In the fourth quarter, new GTLD delegations crossed the 50% mark. The number of potential GTLD strings as of 30 June 2015 was 1,277, and the total number of delegated by that date was 679. Of these, 328 were delegated over the course of FY15, and 101 were delegated in Q4. By the end of the quarter, 995 new GTLD registry agreements had been signed. Of these, 540 were signed over the course of FY15, and 123 were signed in Q4. As you may know, ICANN executes one registry agreement for each string. In some cases, multiple applicants applied to operate the same string or strings that were considered confusingly similar. We call these groups of strings contention sets. ICANN encourages applicants in this situation to resolve string contention among themselves, and the majority have done so. In cases where self-resolution is not possible, ICANN holds an auction to resolve the contention. By the end of FY15, 204 of the 233 contention sets had been resolved, of which only 13 were resolved through an ICANN last resort auction. The net proceeds from these auctions totaled approximately $58.8 million U.S. dollars, and these funds are currently segregated and reserved from use, as you will see in the financial update later in this call. At ICANN 53, the community and board of directors opened discussions about the process for deciding how auction funds could be used, and those discussions are ongoing. Now that the new GTLD program has surpassed its midway point, the ICANN community is focusing attention on reviewing the program against its original goals, and in particular, according to four key topics: right protection, program implementation, security and stability, and competition, consumer choice, and consumer trust. ICANN also published the first global consumer study on the domain name system to serve as a baseline for ongoing competition, choice, and trust reviews, and that study is available on ICANN's website. Now, I'd like to discuss progress related to internationalized domain names. Internationalized domain names, or IDNs, enable users across the world to navigate the web in their preferred language. Efforts under the IDN top-level domain program are focused on developing rules that determine how non-ASCII TLD names, or labels, can be constructed and used in the domain name system. Each script or writing system requires its own rules, known as label generation rules. During the fourth quarter, a key milestone was reached. The Arabic and Armenian script communities completed work on their respective label generation rules. These rules, being the first to have been completed, paved the way for the release of the first version of the label generation rule set for IDNs at the top level. There are 28 scripts currently considered relevant for use in the Internet's root, and the community is developing a process to accelerate approval of IDNs in order to support countries in building an online presence in native languages. To date, 37 countries and territories have requested evaluation of IDN CCTLDs, and 47 labels have been successfully announced through the IDN country code top-level domain process. Some countries and territories have requested that labels in multiple scripts be evaluated, which accounts for the difference between the number of labels in relation to the number of countries and territories that have submitted requests. Greece is the most recent addition to this list. The creation of internationalized top-level domains is only one part of the efforts underway to arrive at a multilingual internet. These new domains must also function in internet applications and services, and today, many of them do not. This is where universal acceptance comes in. Even as IDNs are being deployed, there is a problem in the internet infrastructure that is impeding the use of those domains. Specifically, some software and other systems are unable to accept IDNs. To address this, ICANN is supporting a community-led initiative aimed at achieving universal acceptance. Universal acceptance means that users globally can access any name in any top-level domain from any web browser, email client, or other internet application. During the fourth quarter, the Universal Acceptance Steering Group elected leaders for each of its four work streams and established a charter. The group also produced an executive briefing paper that describes the concept of Universal Acceptance Ready and identified email address internationalization as the biggest challenge to achieving success. Now, let's move on to the IANA department. ICANN's IANA department is responsible for maintaining registries of globally unique identifiers, such as the domain name system root, top-level blocks of Internet protocol addresses, and other Internet protocol parameters. This responsibility includes processing requests to update top-level domains and protocol parameter registries, performing number resource allocations to regional Internet registries, and handling general inquiries. Looking at the IANA tickets from a year-on-year perspective, you can see that there were four number resource allocations to regional internet registries in FY14, and there were six allocations in FY15, two of which were from the fourth quarter. The demand for top-level internet number allocations is typically low, and the slight increase in events in FY15 is within the norm. The IANA team processes thousands of protocol parameter tickets annually, but the year-on-year difference was a mere two tickets. In the fourth quarter, there were 1,055 requests, Similarly, the number of general requests remained close over these 2 years, with 1,117 tickets processed in FY14 and 1,165 tickets processed in FY15, a difference of only 48 requests. Domain name requests, on the other hand, nearly doubled over the last two fiscal years. In FY14, there were only 837 requests related to domain names, while in FY15, there were 1,586 requests, of which 656 occurred in the fourth quarter. The increase was primarily due to the continued rollout of the new GTLD program, and we expect the number of domain names related requests to increase in correlation with the increasing number of top-level domains in the root. Now, let's look at how the Customer Service Center has been performing. General trends over FY15 demonstrate that ICANN's customer service support is improving. Looking at case volume trending, ICANN opened a large quantity of cases to manage a mass communication with new GTLD applicants and registries. While a majority of cases opened by customers were resolved, the communications effort extended beyond the end of the quarter, and cases associated with that communication remained open. This is reflected in the case backlog, and during the last quarter, there was a sharp increase in unresolved cases resulting from the mass communication. On status frequency, our goal is to respond to queries within 7 days on 80% of the cases. We are exceeding our goal by providing updates on over 80% of cases in fewer than 7 days. Progress has also been made in meeting resolution time targets. We are resolving over 80% of cases within approximately 6 days. Now let's take a look at how ICANN has engaged with its stakeholders. Globalizing ICANN and engaging with stakeholders worldwide is a core part of ICANN's strategy. This slide shows some of these engagement efforts, and in fourth quarter, ICANN held over 100 events in over 35 countries, reaching an estimated audience of over 13,000 people. The slide also shows a breakdown by region and by stakeholder group. For example, the Asia-Pacific region held 20 events focused on governmental engagement. Note that many of ICANN's events have multiple stakeholder groups, so the same event may be counted more than once. These engagement efforts help build relationships and regular dialogue with stakeholders. They also encourage participation in ICANN's processes and structures. You can learn more by looking at the Global Stakeholder Engagement Reporting wiki page. That concludes the management update section of this quarterly call, and I'll now hand over to Xavier, ICANN's CFO, to talk about ICANN's financials.
Thank you, David. As Fadi indicated earlier, our fiscal year 2015 closed at the end of June. I will therefore present financial information for the full fiscal year, which ran from July 2014 to June 2015. The information presented includes actual data compared to budget, starting with information on ICANN's operations revenue, followed by a review of expenses. We will then provide an overview of the new GTLD program, and we'll conclude with the status of the funds under management. Our annual independent audit on the FY15 financial statements is currently in progress. Therefore, all financial information presented here remains unaudited and subject to change until the audit is completed in the next few weeks. We will now describe our main revenue sources. ICANN's revenue results mainly from two drivers. First, on the left, the number of domain name registrations, and second, on the right, the number of parties under contract with ICANN. Both drivers are mainly outside of the control of ICANN. The number of domain name registrations on the left drives the transaction-based fees, representing 74% of our revenue, and collected from registrants through registries and registrars. If you are the registrant of a domain name, this is the one-year ICANN annual fee of 18 to 25 cents that you can see on the invoice you receive from your registrar. On the right, the number of contracted parties drives various fixed fees, representing 22% of revenues. One example is the accreditation fee of $4,000 paid annually to ICANN by each registrar. The other income, consisting of contributions and sponsorships, represents the last 4% of ICANN's revenue. We will now compare these revenue sources to the FY15 budget. As anticipated, our final revenue for FY15 is slightly under budget at $102 million and consistent with the outlook that we shared in April during the last quarterly stakeholder call. By category, the registry and registrar transaction-based fees are overall consistent with budget, both with less than 2% deviation. The trend of lower registry fixed fees than budget, continuing since the beginning of the fiscal year, amounts to $5 million after 12 months. As indicated over the past three quarterly calls, this is the result of the slower delegation than planned of new top-level domains. The other registrar fees are above budget as a result of the unbudgeted one-time fees resulting from approximately 450 new registrar accreditations. The other income is slightly under budget, mainly due to lower sponsorship revenues at ICANN meetings. Let's now review our expenses for the ICANN operations. As you can see, our main category of expenses is personnel costs, corresponding to an average headcount of 293 staff members during the course of FY15, representing 45% of our total expenses. Travel and meeting costs include the costs of travel, lodging, and venue rental for the three annual ICANN meetings. The top three professional services cost categories are, first, the contracted services supporting the three annual ICANN meetings, second, legal fees, and third, language services for transcription, translation, and interpretation. Administration costs include primarily facilities costs for all ICANN locations, asset depreciation, and network and telecommunication costs. Let's now look at how these expenses compare to budget. The underspend trend observed throughout the fiscal year is confirmed during the fourth quarter. Total expenses, combining both operating and capital spend, amounted to a total of $105 million compared to a budget of $109 million, resulting in a favorable variance of $4 million after 12 months. As we had identified early in the year a risk of lower revenue than budget, we had immediately initiated actions to reduce our rate of spending below budget levels in order to ensure that our annual expenses remain below forecasted revenue by the end of the year. We will review how revenue compares to expenses later in this presentation. For now, let's review the expenses driven by the USG Stewardship Transition Approved Initiative. The run rate of expenses on the USG Stewardship Transition Initiative has, as expected, increased significantly through the second half of the fiscal year, culminating to a total spend of nearly $9 million for FY15. This amount exceeds the original budgeted envelope of $7 million. The primary driver of this higher spend is the independent legal advice supporting the community working groups for $3.1 million, which was not originally contemplated in the budget. The entire amount of the USG stewardship transition expenses is funded by the ICANN Reserve Fund. Let's now look at how our revenue and expenses net out for FY15. Overall, ICANN operations revenue and expenses are balanced across baseline expenses and initiative expenses, with lower revenues, as we saw earlier, and higher initiatives expenses being fully offset by lower baseline expenses. FY15 therefore shows balanced revenue and expenses, as originally planned, demonstrating our ability to conduct ICANN's mission and adapt our activities to adverse circumstances in order to remain fiscally responsible. Let's now look ahead at FY16. The FY16 budget, approved in June 2015 during ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires, shows an increase in revenue and expenses year-on-year, leaving the ICANN baseline operations at a planned break-even point. Approved initiatives of $12 million in FY16 include the conclusion of the USG stewardship transition project, as well as the implementation of the resulting proposals once approved by the board, and also other initiatives like the IT infrastructure strengthening and the public responsibility initiative. We will now review the financial information relative to the new GTLD program. The new GTLD program is a $360 million multi-year program to create new top-level domains. The program is fully funded through the application fees collected in 2012. After 3 years of evaluation and delegation work, from FY13 to FY15, over $200 million have been spent to process applications evaluation and to refund withdrawn applications. Approximately $70 million of further evaluation expenses and refunds are expected to be processed through the remainder of the program, leaving an estimated $89 million of remaining funds to cover for future unexpected expenses, including risk mitigation. We will now focus on the program's information for FY15. Confirming the trend of the previous FY15 quarters, expenses are consistent with budget in total, with some variances by category. Notably, the refunds for withdrawn applications amount to $18 million, while a total of $10 million was budgeted for the year. This higher number of refunds is mainly driven by a different timing of withdrawals compared to the multi-year plan, driven by the earlier resolution of contentions between similar applications. Let's now look at the status of the funds under our management. The program-related funds on the left include the new GTLD program funds and the proceeds of auctions. As you can see, the proceeds of auctions have increased during the fiscal year 15 as a result of the auctions held. The new GTLD funds decreased as a result of the evaluation expenses incurred and the application withdrawals refunded. The ICANN operations funds on the right reflect a slight increase of the operating fund and a stable reserve fund. This concludes the financial presentation, and I would like to hand it back to Brad, who will moderate the question and answer session.
Thank you very much, Xavier. The questions are coming in, I will voice each of these questions as they come in so that people are who are doing audio only can hear the questions that we're getting online and some of those that were submitted earlier. Ariel, the first question is to you from Ann Aikman Scalise. What is the role of the IETF Trust?
Thank you, Brad. The IETF Trust has been set up to maintain licensing certain existing and future intellectual property and other property use in connection with the Internet Standard process. More information on that can be found on the IETF website, trustee.ietf.org. I'll pass the link on the chat room. But I know that the IETF Trust has come up several times in the discussion on the IANA transition. This discussion is still ongoing, and I will really encourage people to follow the discussion at the community level on that. I will pass the link to the full description of the IETF Trust on the chat room now. Thanks.
Thank you, Ariel. The next question is from John Poole. It's directed to Akram. What data or metrics is ICANN capturing or measuring about new GTLD's universal acceptance issues, i.e. new GTLD domain names failing to work as expected on the Internet and reportedly breaking stuff? Is this data being captured on an ongoing basis? Will the data or metrics be published so the global Internet community and domain name registrants may be advised of defect issues relating to ICANN's new GTLD's domain names?
Thank you, Brad, and thank you, John, for the question. Universal acceptance is a very important issue for ICANN, and although we don't have access to this data that you're suggesting, we are working on universal acceptance. The community is actually has had multiple meetings, and they're working on developing mitigation issues to the universal acceptance. And you can join those meetings and participate in them. The important thing here is that we understand that there could be some issues there. They're not ICANN issues in the sense that all the new GTLDs resolve at the root. But we understand that there might be some issues through software tools and different issues within the network. So we have commissioned a study to look into the issue so that we can definitely understand where these defects are happening and to supplement the community's work and provide this information so we can work on it all together. I will defer to our CTO, David Conrad, who will share a little bit more information. information about the study. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. This next question is from Zakir, who's an ICANN fellow from Pakistan. Fadi, it's directed to you. After the NTIA's recent announcement that it plans to extend IANA contract with ICANN for 1 year to September 30th of next year, the update also mentions that beyond 2016, NTIA has the options to extend the contract for up to 3 additional years if needed. Do you think the transition process will be completed by September 2016, or do you see a contract being fully extended further? Thank you.
Thank you, Zakir, for the question. And before I answer you, I'm just going to ask my colleague David Conrad to finish the full answer to the prior question as Akram was handing to him for a little more detail. David?
This is David Conrad. ICANN worked with APNIC in the development of a study that actually looks at how accepted these new GTLDs are across the entire spectrum of the new GTLD program. What we did with APNIC is used their infrastructure that they've developed for testing to have browsers issue DNS queries using the new GTLD domain names as targets and see how many of those actually resolved. we, in conjunction with APNIC, prepared a report that was released through the Universal Acceptance Steering Group, and I will provide a link to that report in the chat. We also plan on working with APNIC in the future to try to repeat this study to see how the universal acceptance is improving or degrading over time to try to get a handle on how well the new GTLD program is being accepted within Internet applications as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Back to you, Zakir. The short answer to your question is that we have every expectation based on community input that we will not need any additional time beyond September 2016. In fact, as you recall, the U.S. government had asked our community leaders to come back to them with estimates as to when do they think they will complete the implementation of the proposals. And those estimates came back to the U.S. government pointing to the time frame of June, July of 2016, and the U.S. government, in order to be cautious and give us a little more time if needed, opted for giving us the full year. And I think this is a very wise approach. It gives us an extra buffer of a few months to get things done within the September 2016 a time frame, which, as I'm sure you are aware, is just a little bit before the next U.S. president is elected, which I think would be a good thing, not because we have any concerns about the changing elections, but frankly, it's uncertainty that we, all of us, should be cautious about. I also would like to emphasize that the timeline is driven by the community, not by me, not by ICANN, not by the board. This is community work. And of course, as I'm sure you've been watching, this is complex work. It involves a lot of stakeholders and a lot of consultation. And as I noted earlier, it's very important we all participate in these public comment periods. Finally, I just would like to say that the risk to this timeline is in our hands. In other words, if we overcomplicate all the things we need to do in order to satisfy the criteria set by the U.S. government, then frankly, it would be something of our own doing right now. So I caution all of us to be cognizant of the time. This is not a lot of time left. And we have to, as some community leaders have been voicing on many lists recently, we have to focus on the minimum necessary so that we can meet the criteria and pass into this very important next phase. Thank you.
Thank you, Fadi. We have a question from Jim Pendergrass. Xavier, this is for you. The unexpected one-time registrar fees, 450 new accreditations, how many of these are unique new registrars as opposed to from the same family of registrar?
Thank you, Brad, and thank you, Jim, for the question. I do not have the exact precise numbers that break down the 450 new accreditations, but the majority of that number is made up by two large families of registrars, and the remainder are individual independent registrar accreditations. So we will retrieve the precise numbers and communicate them at a later stage. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Xavier. Akram, we have a question for you from Ivan Razakazov, I think it is. ICANN and domain name markets are coming under increasing political and regulatory pressure as ICANN considered a global industry self-regulatory organization as a way to preempt this pressure.
Thank you for the question. It's important to understand that ICANN is not a regulatory body, and therefore our remit does not include that role. Maybe it would be a good positive move, I don't know, but we have not been considering this. I think if the community wants to do something on its own, that's up to the community to decide. The contracted parties, they can decide if they want to do something on their own. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. Fadi, we have a question for you from Nancy Scola in Washington, D.C. Can Mr. Shahadi talk a bit more about the impact of the 2016 U.S. presidential election on the NTIA transition? In that same vein, how does the fact that he'll be leaving before then affect the transition process?
Thank you, Ms. Scola. I do not believe that the change or potential change of leadership in the U.S. White House is going to have a direct impact on our work. And this is largely because we have achieved almost complete consensus in Washington on the importance of this transition and its value for the world, for the Internet, and frankly also for the U.S. This consensus that has come together between parties, between different parts of the U.S. government, is really the what gives us the comfort that the presidential election itself is not a factor that could change what we're working on here. And I think the U.S. government has demonstrated over many years its deep and unwavering commitment for the multi-stakeholder model, and this is not the time anyone in the U.S. government will change its position and will not fully embrace and respect the amazing work, simply amazing work, that the multi-stakeholder community has been doing to prepare for this transition. Now, having said that, it's important to note that in any capital in the world, there is just so much oxygen for issues. And as we enter the presidential election phase, political oxygen and attention and time start shifting to the election process. So now that we have the leaders of the U.S. NTIA, the Secretary of Commerce, Penny Pritzker, who came herself to our meeting and confirmed her commitment to the transition. We have the White House leadership committed to the transition. We have congressional leaders on both sides of the House, as well as both parties, very much aligned with us. All that political work has already been done, and we have very good understanding of the transition. So we have a lot of things aligned, and therefore we should be cognizant that as all of these things are aligned, the community, the leadership, the political positions in Washington, and finally, the political positions outside of Washington. We have never seen an alignment of countries like Brazil, China, and most recently India with ICANN and its mission and the multi-stakeholder model. We've never seen that before. So this is a moment in history, and I think our community is aware of that, and I think we will be successful together. I am not central to this, so I know you bring up my departure date. This is not about me. This is about the incredible work that all of us have done together. Yes, I have been a member and a partner with all of us here in getting this further, but my departure from my role at ICANN does not mean I am leaving this important space that I have come to love and respect and the community I know here. So I am committed to finish the job, and I do think that if our work continues on pace, sometime by the date of my departure, plus or minus a couple of months, we would have finished phase two, which we outlined as the phase when all the political work is done and we have passed all the approvals in Washington, at which point what is left would be implementation. So my hope is that all of this comes to fruition. I'm here and I'm committed, and we have a great team of people that will finish this job.
Thank you, Fadi. We have a final question for David Conrad. Can you talk more about the technology roadmap that is a current work in progress? What will it address? What's the overall time frame for this roadmap?
Thank you for the question. The technology roadmap that's being developed within my group is primarily aimed at identifying those areas in which the Internet system of unique identifiers will most likely evolve, and to ensure that ICANN is able to track that evolution and keep the ICANN community informed and up to date with regards to changes within the use and technologies associated with those identifiers. The overall time frame that we'll be looking at for the roadmap corresponds with the time frame associated with our strategic plan. That is on the order of 5 years. As I'm sure you're aware, Internet technologies tend to change fairly rapidly. 5 years is a very long time in Internet time. But we figured that sort of focusing on that as a time horizon would be a good way to keep the community informed. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We have no more questions in the queue, so we're going to wrap this up. I will toss it over to Fadi for any closing comments that you might have. Fadi?
Thank you very much, especially to all of you who attended this quarterly stakeholder call. As you all know, this is simply one way for us to confirm and reaffirm our commitment for transparency, accountability, and making sure that the entire community is with us every step of the way as we perform this missionary work here at ICANN to serve the Internet and to serve our community. We are at a good place today at ICANN, and as these quarterly stakeholder calls, as well as the KPI, Key Performance Indicator dashboards, which will be released in a beta version later this month, these are just mechanisms for all of us to stay aligned and to make sure that the performance we deliver is what you want us to deliver. So please do stay very alert with us so that we can perform and deliver on this mission the way you want us to and the way this Internet and this mission deserves. Thank you again to all the community members who give, without count, enormous time and commitment to the ICANN mission. The work that you have been doing and you continue to do is really testament to the importance of this mission, and we thank you for that.
Again, thank you all, and with that, we'll close.